Okay, so today we're going to talk about eating on Friday, eating a meal on Friday, and we're going to talk about performing malacha and traveling on Friday. So we'll begin with source 39. Okay, it's on the book page 46. I think we're going to finish shir 1 in this book today. Okay, so the Gemara in Pesachim Daf Tzadi Tesamim Beis says the following. The Tanya, we learn in a Braisa. Again, a Braisa is a... Should I explain what a Braisa is? Yeah? A Braisa is a statement that did not make it into the Mishnah. It's from the era of the Mishnah. The Mishnah around the year 200. Rabbi Yehuda Nasi collected a lot of statements and all those halachos, and they made it into the Mishnah. Something that was from that era but did not make it into the Mishnah is called a Braisa. Braisa means outside. So it's outside of the Mishnah, but it still has, the Gemara will still quote these Braisa, will quote these statements. So the Gemara says, Lo yochal adam b'arvei Shabbos v'yom tovim min ha-mincha ulamala. You're not allowed to eat on Erev, Shabbos, and Yom Tov from Mincha time and onward, Kadeshi Kanish the Shabbos Kishu Taiva, so you can enter Shabbos when you have a desire to eat. Divrei Rabbi Yehuda, this is the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yossi Omer, Ocha Baholech Ad Shtekshav. No, you continue eating until dark. So you have this debate here that whether you can eat from Mincha time and onwards. By the way, what is Mincha time? What is Mincha time? Any thoughts? Mincha?
Plag?
The plag, okay. So that's plag mincha. It's not mincha, but it's plag mincha. So first of all, you're assuming... No,
you're
good.
Already benching left.
What?
You're already benching left.
You know, it's mincha...
I know it's mincha, but...
So what's mincha?
I mean, we usually light our candles around the same time as, or even a little before, we start mincha before Shabbos.
Okay,
right?
So again, there's tefillas mincha. That's not what this refers to.
Right.
So there's tefillas. So what's mincha? So we're going to see there are two minchas. We'll see. There's what's called mincha gedola and mincha katana. Without getting to details, mincha gedola is basically 6.5 halachic hours into the day, and mincha katana is 9.5 halachic hours into the day. Plag mincha, Adina, you mentioned. Plag mincha is half. That's actually an important time. That's plag mincha is from the time that you can light candles, let's say Friday afternoon. That's actually, plag means half, pligi. In Aramaic means to divide half. So it's the half the time from Mincha Kitana and sunset. So it's 2.5 hours. It's 2.5 hours. Mincha Kitana until sunset is 2.5 hours. And Plag Mincha would be 1.25 halachic hours. Actually, it's relevant, as we'll soon see. We'll see when Hanukkah is coming up. So let's see, the earliest time you can light Hanukkah candles is Plag Mincha. So it's like an hour, like say if you have to leave early, so the earliest time is like one, or let's say you want to light Hanukkah candles like Erev Shabbos, so the earliest time you can light it is 1.25 halachic hours. A halachic hour, I know I'm saying too much here, but halachic hour is when you take the day from morning to night and you divide by 12. So on the winter months, the halachic hours is shorter, and the summer months, halachic hours are longer. But in any case, so we have this debate here between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yossi. So, can you eat? Now, you want to have a Shabbos meal when you're hungry for it. So, is there this precaution that you shouldn't have a meal? You shouldn't eat. We don't exactly know what you shouldn't eat, but it seems you shouldn't eat from Mincha not time and onwards, or it's not a problem. And in fact, the Gemara in Gittin tells us now. The Gemara in Gittin tells the story. Amar Rav Chiya bar Abba Rav Yochanan, Shtei Mishpachot Hayu B'Yerushalayim. There were two families in Yerushalayim. Achas Kava Sudasa B'Shabbos, Achas Kava Sudasa B'Erev Shabbos. V'Shteim Nekru. So there are two families. One had a meal on Shabbos, and one had a meal on Erev Shabbos, and both of them were uprooted. So it's not so clear from this Gemara, I just read this passage alone, what's the problem? I think maybe Erev Shabbos, maybe we have an issue, you shouldn't eat an Erev Shabbos. What was the problem of eating on Shabbos? So there's no, if you're just reading your booklet here, there's no, it's not clear what it's about. The reason, by the way, is because what's called mishum bitul beis hamidrash. In other words, they would have a meal at the time the rabbi was giving the drasha. So that's it's not a personal plug or anything. It was just that's the first. The family that had their meal when they were supposed to be in learning, So they were uprooted. That's not relevant for our topic. What's relevant for our topic is the other family that had a meal on Erev Shabbos. So what's the issue with Erev Shabbos? So the truth is, there are two explanations. In source 41, there are two different reasons. The first reason, the source 41 only gives the second reason. It's relevant for us. The first reason, for your knowledge, is that Rashi points out that they only had their Shabbos meal on Erev Shabbos, means Friday night, as opposed to Shabbos day. And Shabbos day is more, you're really supposed to have it, if you have to pick, it's better to have it Shabbos day. That's not relevant for us. What's relevant for us is what's quoted in source 41. Rashi says, V'ika de mafarshi be'erev Shabbos mamash, now it doesn't mean Friday night, it means Erev Shabbos, it means Friday afternoon. And that was a bad move. V'chein b'chol yom merov osher. And they had such a meal every day because of their great wealth. Av baha miha ika isura she kanes leShabbos kshus savea blotayva. So again, he says that apparently this was bad, that you're supposed to enter Shabbos. You're not supposed to enter Shabbos when you're satiated. You should enter Shabbos when you're hungry, so you'll desire the Shabbos meal. So how do we paskin halacha l'maisa? We have a debate between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yossi. And I guess we have this Gemara, which says that this was bad, at least one way of Rashi, understanding that it was bad that they ate this meal on Erev Shabbos. So the Rambam paskins, let's see, source 42, the Rambam paskins. Also the Kibbutz Suda umishta be'Erev Shabbos b'nei Kvod HaShabbos. You can't establish a meal, and what's a mishta? A wine fest, right? Suda is from Sa'ad, meaning to satiate you. Mishta is from Shoteh, the drinking party, on Erev Shabbos because of Kavod Shabbos. So you can't establish a meal. And that seems to indicate what? Just from Mincha time? What is the Rambam telling you here? Also likboa Suda Mishta be'Erev Shabbos nekvod Shabbos. It seems on the surface it's
the whole day,
it seems, right? It seems the whole day. So we have to break that up a bit. We have to try to understand that. Then he says, "Umutar lechov lishos ashitechshach." You'll have to eat and drink until it's night. It's nighttime. So how do you reconcile those two statements?
There's a difference between being koveya suda and just like eating, little bits of eating.
Right. So it seems the Rambam says that you can't have a fixed meal. Again, we have to define these terms, but on the surface, you can't have a fixed meal, but you can eat and drink until it gets dark, which seems to be like whom? Like probably Rabbi Yossi, who says, Ochav ho'ch ha'chitachshach, right? V'av ha'piche mikavod ha'shabbos, she'im na'odam min ha'mincho l'mala, milikboa se'uda, k'dei she'ikadosh ha'shabbos, k'shu misav ha'lecho. Nevertheless, it's an expression of honor for Shabbos that you refrain from mincha time and on from fixing a meal. Until so that you enter Shabbos when you're desirous to eat. Now this is a little strange, because how do you reconcile all these three statements? The first statement of the Rambam is what? It's forbidden to fix a meal and drinking. So Dor Chanan, you want to make a distinction between the first statement is you're not allowed to, right? Which it makes sense what you're saying. And then the question is, though, the third statement seems to say, yeah, you can eat and drink, but it's appropriate not to be koveya suda from Minchanan. So like how the first and third statements, you know, how they both make sense requires further understanding, right?
Well, what if you have like a bris or something on Friday morning?
Oh, good. We'll talk about it. Great question. It's on the agenda. Good.
Okay.
Great. It's on the agenda. In other words, maybe there's a difference between having a fixed, in other words, maybe a Sudas Mitzvah trumps this rule. In other words, maybe... Right. Maybe there could be some kind of meal. If you can have some kind of party or some kind of feast that you want to make on Friday, you should avoid it. By something that's time sensitive, maybe that's an exception. That's a good point.
Rabbi?
Yeah.
I think that there's a minhag Yerushalayim to have to make a wedding on a Friday afternoon. Then you have a suda,
right?
Still, and then it goes into Shabbos.
Yeah, in the old days they. In the old days, they had that, right? Question: How does this Yeah, so we'll talk about that also. I think we may talk about that also, right? So how does that fit in with this, right? Because that probably you probably could. Well, again, they would get married. The kiddushin
Friday afternoon, and they would have the suda, and they have sheva brachos, but they would have it.
When was the suda? Is the suda Friday or suda Friday night? I think the suda
Friday. It would continue.
Okay, so I think we're gonna see that. Okay, we'll see that, and then we'll see that. We'll give some practical examples of that. So we'll get to that. Okay. So we're going to talk about that. So good. So let's first understand the Rabbah, and then we'll get to some of these practical questions. Venira, the Magen Mishnah, source 43. Venira milashon Rabbeinu, and it seems from the language of the Rambam, Shesuda Mishnah she'eno noy b'mos achol oser la'sosin be'erev Shabbos v'chol yom b'chol iser v'chiach kein mimemer the gittin. So it seems from the Rambam that halacha number one, where he said you can't have on Friday, so this means what? An unusual, like a meal that you typically don't have the rest of the week. So the first halacha of the round, when he says you can't fix the meal, is like an unusual meal. Like, let's say for breakfast, I don't know, every Friday morning you have toast and cheese, or toast and eggs, whatever it is. I would assume bread, it constitutes koveya suda. If you have that every day for breakfast, you have toast and cheese or toasted eggs, so that would not be a prohibition. If you want to have an unusual, like, I don't know, you're smoking meat or you're having, like, whatever, a big festive, we'll see what that is. That's what the Rambam is getting at in halacha number one, of Asalikbo Suda Mishta. And that's what the Gemara in Gittin is talking about, where, remember, they said in Erev Shabbos, they were uprooted because they did that. V'lecho v'lishas b'lo k'viya suda, filo suda shiragi b'chol, kol hayom mutar l'haskil. Teeter to drink without a fixed meal, even something that you have during the week, you could have all day. Ke'uch m'vor kein b'erev, perek b'arve psachim, uch Rabbi Yossi, so we hold like Rabbi Yossi. V'likboa suda shirag b'chol, but to establish a meal that you usually have during the week, mitzvah limana mitesha shalsulamala. So you shouldn't have from 9 hours and onwards. Lefi shesar rabbeinu dafagav de kaibalan k'rav yosi, even though we hold like Rav Yosi, the omer ochav olachai shetekshach, hainu dafagav blok via suda. That's only if you don't have a fixed meal. Kenir alil das rabbeinu vadachum. This seems to be the way the Rambam understands it. So we have three different types of meals. One is an unusual a meal exceptionally, the way he says it here, a meal exceptionally larger than your usual meal, so that you can't have it all on Erev Shabbos. A regular meal, so from the ninth halachic hour. What's interesting is, this would probably be, just want to be a little more precise here, it's probably, if I remember correctly, the reason why he's saying ninth halachic hour, it's probably samuch lemincha, even though the Rambam didn't say it precisely. Mincha is 2.5 halachic hours. Samuch lemincha, I know that's the language in Maseches Pesachim, is a half an hour before mincha. So I'm just trying to be precise here. Mincha is 2.5 halachic hours. Samuch lemincha is 3 hours. Why the Rambam doesn't say samuch lemincha, I'm not sure, but I believe that mincha is 2.5 halachic hours. This is mincha katana. Okay, so. And then, but to have snacks, basically, you can snack all the way till Shabbos. If you all like the Rambam, you can snack all the way till Shabbos, but you can't have a fixed meal, like, you know, a couple hours before Shabbos. So the how's Shulchan Aruch Pasuk in source 44?
Snack, you just ruin your appetite.
What?
If you snack, you will ruin your appetite.
Okay, it depends how much. Depends how much a snack you have. So the Shulchan Aruch says, "Asher likbo be'erev Shabbos, suda mishta she'ena rogeli b'mei achol, afilu hu sudas erisin." You can't have even a sudas erisin, a suda of betrothal. In the old days, they might have, like nowadays, we have kiddushin and nisuin together. We consummate the marriage right after the kiddushin. So there, they might have had them differently. So therefore, you wouldn't be allowed to have an Erev Shabbos. I know we have to deal with Eva's question. We'll get to that in a bit. Let's see. So he says, "Vavili Yisus Erev Simibnei Kvod Shabbos," because the honor of Shabbos. She Kodesh LeShabbos Kshu Toiv Lachol. You want to enter Shabbos when you're desirous to eat. V'chol hayom b'chol iser. This is forbidden the whole day. V'lecha v'lishtos b'lik v'yasuda afilo suda sh'raga b'chol kol hayom muter lehatzcha min adin. And to eat or drink without fixing a meal, just to have snacks. So even a meal that you typically have during the week, you could me'ikar din basic halacha, we possibly like Rabbi Yossi, you're allowed to begin the meal. Of a mitzvah limana b'likbo suda sh'nog b'chol miteshos l'mala. But there's a mitzvah to refrain from fixing a meal that you're accustomed to eat during the week from 9 hours and on. So question is, so let's talk about Sudas Arison. Because the Piskei Tshuva, this you don't have, but I'll just read to you. I looked in the Piskei Tshuvos, he says, Sudas Mitzvah, what about a Sudas Mitzvah in Erev Shabbos? Does that count, right? So just to sort of actually, you know what? Let me read it. Let me read 45, 46, 47, and then we'll get to some of the details here. So the Be'er Halacha says, "Mipnei Kvod Shabbos u'pri Megadim Mitzadei Ena Tam Mishum L'Teyavon El Dikar Tam Mipnei Shemizalza B'Kavod Shabbos Shosay Erev Shabbos Shava B'Zeli Mayach Shabbos." So the one reason is because you're not going to be hungry for your meal on Shabbos. The pre Megadim says no. He says that if you have a meal on Erev Shabbos, then you're sort of equating Erev Shabbos with Shabbos. You know, so you could argue that even if you'll be hungry for the meal on Shabbos, if you have a meal right before Shabbos, then you're sort of demeaning Shabbos. You know, you're supposed to have your big meal on Shabbos, not right before. And the Magen Avraham in Source 46 says, he's saying that no, if you have a meal right before Shabbos, like a big meal, then you're going to be worried about your Erev Shabbos meal. You're not going to have time to prepare your Shabbos meal. And the Ramah in 47, he says, but this guy, I think Adidas point, usuda shezmana Erev Shabbos, but the meal that the time of it is Erev Shabbos, could go in bris mila. If you have to have it Erev Shabbos, like bris mila, pidyon abein mutter. So a mitzvah, in other words, when there's a sudas mitzvah, the mitzvah has to be on Erev Shabbos, so then you could have the su'uda on Erev Shabbos. So that's what the Ramah says. And let me do this last halacha Mishnah Berurah, and then we'll talk about some practical cases. So bris milah, source 548, Mishnah Berurah says in Archaim Reish Mem Tes Sif, Sifkatan Yud Bezhit Gimel. Afilim Eina Bishmini Lile Daso. Let's say it's not even the eighth day of the birth. Let's say the baby had jaundice. And let's say you had the bris milah 2 weeks later. It's a fixed time. The chol shaita v'shaita zmani hu. Because every time that once you have the obligation to do the bris milah, that's its fixed time. Because you can't leave the baby uncircumcised even one day when he is obligated to have the bris milah. And so too the pidyon abein afilu avar zmano. Even if the time passed, so let's say for some whatever reason you weren't able to do the pinyon abein on day 30, every day that you waste, that you push it off, you have an obligation to redeem him, the baby. So you can do the meal that day. Why? Said Mr. Brod, he gamkin sudas mitzvah, vainly chosab vain sudas Shabbos. So he says that it's a sudas mitzvah, you shouldn't push it off because of the sudas Shabbos. But we call makom lechatchila mitzvah lakdim b'shach b'kavod Shabbos. So ideally, you should have it in the morning. Ubediavad yochel asoz afilu mincha l'mala. Bediavad, if you didn't do that post facto, you can even do it for the time of mincha and onwards. So let's talk about some practical cases. So bris milah pidyon abein. So that everyone does. People have the sudas mitzvah on Fridays, So Eva, I can tell you in the Piskei Tshuvos, so this is like a post Mishnah Berurah Sefer. I'll just read to you what he says. He says that v'chein haminag lamaisa, the custom is kafishan ispashet b'chol tfutzos Yisrael. This is a common minhag. Shesudas mitzvah she'ein bechreach lasosa b'yom shishi nimnoim mikach. That a sudas mitzvah that you don't have to have it on Friday, we try not to have the meal on Friday. Kigon sudas nisuin, like the suda of nisuin, hayu makaimim osa belel Shabbos, kisha chupa vikidushin hayu be'erev Shabbos. So at least according to Piskei Tshuvos, Eva, it says that they would have, let's say, the kiddushin and the chuppah on Friday. The reason why, as Eva pointed out, the reason why they have the meal, they have the wedding on Friday is because they want to save on money. So you can't afford oh my God, you have to pay for the wedding and for a Friday night meal. People are going to go broke, right? So I mean, nowadays, how much people wait for weddings? But people go broke. So what do? They combine the Friday night meal with the wedding meal. So I just want to tell you, so Eva, I'm saying the Piskei Tshuva that I'm reading here is he said they would make the chuppah and the kiddushin were an Erev Shabbos, and the sudas sheva brachos nimnoin lachalutin melasos bimei shishi. So he seems to say that they would try to avoid having the meal. In other words, they make the wedding right before Shabbos, and they have the meal on Shabbos. That's what it seems to be. And then he says also, v'kolchkein chain osim suda l'chavod hitkashrut shiduchin. Let's say like a avort or a l'chaim. They wouldn't make it on Friday. Again, it's for a mitzvah. In the old days, they would sign the tanoim. Tanoim are this like fake document that we do on the weddings, where the women, the mothers break the plate. And they not a fake document, but it's not really relevant nowadays. It basically says that after both the groom and the bride side spent whatever tens of thousands of dollars on the wedding, then they write signs to Naim that we're going to agree to go through with the wedding. So they do this at the wedding to give extra kibbutim. So, but it was a custom. So we continue doing it. Okay, fine. But in the old days, they would do the Tanaim, and they would celebrate that at a different time. So that is it also. Even though it's for a mitzvah, you shouldn't do that on Friday. So l'chaim, avort, you shouldn't do on Friday. And also a siyum mesechet. He said you really shouldn't do a siyum mesechet on Friday either. He said a sudat bar mitzvah, you should try to do on the night of let's say Thursday night. It's better not to do a Friday morning. So we try to avoid for having a big feast. I'm not sure if you should, like, you know, you make a siyum and you have a, you know, a small thing, like a little rogolach or something. I think if you're making a big celebration, we should try to avoid having Friday. The bris milah, pidyon and bein, that's different because there the mitzvah has to be done on Friday day. And if possible, you try to have that in the morning. He also talks about what else. So a few other examples. So sometimes if you notice, so this year I think we had second day Yom Tov on Sunday, I think. No, second day Yom Tov, well, second day Yom Tov on Sunday. We had that for one of the Chagim, right? So if you notice, sometimes if I remember, I don't always remember, but I think I remember this time, to say on Shabbos morning, I say, try to have your Shal Shudas before 4:15. Why am I telling you try to have Shal Shudas before 4:15? Because Shal Shudas, right, there's a mitzvah to have three meals on Shabbos, right? But what? You're not supposed to be Koveya Suda from Vina Mincha Ulamala. So that is what? So what I'm calculating is, and sometimes I forget, so I look in the Zmanim chat, If you yourself forget, you want to know. Let's say you want to have Shal Shudas, and let's say Yom Tov is Shabbos Sunday, so Shabbos you have to have Shal Shudas, but you want to have that again. Ideally, you should have Shal Shudas with bread, but ideally you're not supposed to have that. I mean, a mincha lamala, you know. So from 3 hours before sunset. So what I do is, if I forget to look it up before Shabbos, I see what time Chatzos is. I see what means midday. I see what time sunset is, and mincha is halfway. It's 9 hours into the day. It's samach mincha, actually. That's what I'm saying. It's samach mincha, and therefore it's that. So that's the time that I'll sometimes say in shul when it's a 2 day yom tov, and I'll say on Shabbos if I remember. Usually Eva Evan reminds me to announce it, which I like that because sometimes I forget. And so that's the samach mincha. Okay.
And, there also an issue of which when you're benching, which bracha you're going to make? Let's say if you're going to,
you're thinking of something different. You're thinking of Shal Shudas. You're thinking of Shal Shudas that goes nightfall and it's Rosh Chodesh. That's right. Not our case, sir. That's not our case, sir.
Right.
So one example is that. So that's one example. Another example. Sometimes we also have Purim falling on Friday. So again, Friday, you can't change when Purim falls out. So also you could have the Purim Suda on Friday. Although you should know that some say, if possible, you should have the Purim Suda Friday morning, if possible. You know, that doesn't always, you're not always able to do that. But the poskim say, try to have it Friday morning, or at the very least before, you know, Mincha Katana, Muslim people. But again, that's a discussion. You could still do it if you can't. So I'm saying, so these are some issues where it comes up. Okay, so that is the eating on Erev Shabbos. Let's move on now to page 50, source 49. So we're going to talk about performing malacha and traveling on Friday. Okay? So here, Pesachim, Daf Nunam and Beis. Everyone's good so far? Any questions? We're good? Okay. Am I going to? Okay, right. Okay.
Well, I guess, sorry, just one thing about the wedding. It's just interesting because it seems that having the wedding, even if you're going to eat Friday night, seems to still be a problem according to some of these opinions where it says that it, like, eating a big meal interferes with preparing for Shabbos. You would think still having a wedding ceremony would still interfere with preparing for Shabbos, you know, even if you're not eating the meal then.
You're saying the activity of preparing a wedding would seem to take away from Shabbos separations. Yeah. So I'd probably respond in these two ways. It's a great question. I'd probably say that it doesn't technically violate the law because it's about eating. And then when you talk about the spirit of the law, so it's probably that you're probably dealing with that versus the fact that people were poor. So I'm just saying, no, it's like, it's an interesting question. Now you're saying, like, they're going to be spending a ton of time preparing this, you're not going to have time to prepare for Shabbos. So probably because people were poor and it's not a technical violation, so that was okay. But I agree with you. Now you're just saying to engage in malacha. You know, your question is not an eating question. Your question is a malacha question. Why are we engaging in activities which will likely take away from your preparation for Shabbos? Right. So ideally, we try to avoid that. And so we'll talk a little bit about performing malacha. And I guess the flip side is probably because people were poor, they allowed it. That's probably it. But it's a good point. I'm saying it's a malacha question. It's not an eating question. That's just to clarify. Okay. So in source 49, the Gemara Pesachim Daf Nunam Beis is the following. Ha'osa malacha ve'arvi shabbosos. So this is your topic. Good segue now. Ha'osa malacha ve'arvi shabbosos ve'yom tovim min mincha l'mala eina rosim bracha lola. If you do malacha ve'arvi shabbos and yom tov from mincha onwards, we don't see a simon bracha at all. Okay, you're not going to see a blessing from it at all. Okay, so again, so what is this? Right, so here you see in what he writes here that there are two different terms of mincha. I don't know why he didn't discuss in the previous section, but it could be mincha gedol is a half an hour after midday, and mincha ktana is 9.5 hours until sunset. So the Mordechai says in source 50, he says sofrim shekosim bishvil. So you have the Mordechai, he seems to say it's actually from Mincha Gedola, right? You have to stop working at, for our purposes, the day begins at 12, and the day begins at 6, ends at 6, the 12 hours of the day, you have to stop working at 12:30. Over the Beis Yosef in Source 51 disagrees, he says, U'me'arav Elio Mizrahi. Yeah, he's one of the commentaries of Rashi. He's super, like, commentaries explaining Rashi. He's later. Nira Shaya Gores B'divir Rashi B'Mincha Teisho Semechza. So you have a debate what this means. Is it, if the day begins at 6, ends at 6, is it 12:30 or is it 3:30? How does Shulchan Aruch Paskin? In Source 52. Osa Malacha B'Erev Shabbos B'Mincha L'Mala Eina Ros Simon Bracha. Again, by the way, does it say it's Aser? Doesn't say it's us, sir. It says you don't see a Simon Bracha. No, we're not a fan. So Yesh Befarshim, some explain Mincha Gedol, Yesh Befarshim Mincha Tata. So we don't. So in the Shulchan Aruch does not have a consensus here. Okay, Mishnah Berurah says Mincha Gedol Hani, Source 53 Hani B'Sheish Umechsa Umincha Tana Hani Teisha Mechsa VaSumech HaMekim LoHifsid. The Mishnah Berurah seems to say you can be lenient and work until 2.5 hours before sunset. Right. Source 54. The Ramah, obviously, you have to deal with the fact that, you know, some people will have to deal with the reality. Some people, when they come home, like, mamish, right before Shabbos, 18 minutes, you know, sometimes. So we have to deal with that. How we get around that? So the Ramah, source 54, Ramah says v'dafka kisha osa malacha derech keva, and that's only when you do malacha in a fixed manner. Aval im osa osa derech harai lefi shav lo kava las shari. He says it's again, it's not so clear exactly what this is, but it means some kind of permanent, you know, work. Something seems more regular. But like a light thing is not a problem. What's that? Mutter lichtov igera shlomim cholke yosveh. In other words, writing a letter is okay. Again, where you draw the line, not sure at this point. I assume doing your job is probably, doing work for your job is probably keva. You know, doing something that takes, that's in very labor intensive is probably keva. Something is writing a letter, flipping on a switch, you know. And malacha here doesn't mean any malacha, like, you know, can't drive a car. It means something that could, it seems to mean something that, it seems that you want to prepare for Shabbos, so you don't want to, the last minute, you know, be doing other work. So we'll have to define this a little better. The Yaakov Yosef, that's Rav Avad Yosef's son, so he's generally quotes his father. Source 55, Achozek Sheosem Malacha Derech Keva, Mutter Lasas Malacha Derech Arai. So he's giving further examples of what's derech harai. Kigol nichtov igeres chaveiro, to write a letter, litfor kafter bebigdo, to sew a button in your garment. That's, for me, that's probably difficult labor. Or letaken liftor bebigdo, to again to fix or sewing a garment, a friend's garment, to sew your garment. Beged chadash tatzmo, or sewing a new garment. These are apparently light, not such extensive activities. These are easy activities. The Shulchan Aruch in source 56 says, "Letakin begad of a kelev shorach Shabbos muter kol yom." Now he says, "But if you are planning on preparing garments for Shabbos, then you could do it the whole day." Why? Why do you think?
Because it's for Shabbos.
Yeah, for Shabbos. Right. Now there's this whole notion of like not doing difficult labor is because you want to prepare for Shabbos. So if you're doing the difficult labor for Shabbos, that's okay. The Rabbah says, "Vuhu adin." Turn the page. Vuhu adin. Big day chaverim who litzorech Shabbos ve'nol tel avschar. He says it's true if you're for someone else's clothing if it's needed for Shabbos. It's just if you don't take money for it. So you have to question why would you think if you're taking money? Why should that make a difference? So again, that you would think that's more intensive, I guess. Like it's not if you're taking salary, so maybe it's a question. We're gonna see. Some hold that if you don't have what to eat, then you can take money. But once you're taking money, it's like your regular job. So it potentially might be more problematic. Shulchan Aruch said, "V'udin l'misha kosev svarim la'atzmo derech limudo." You can also write svarim for which you're learning. That seems to be okay. But the Ramah says, "Asher lichtov l'chaver bischar." You can't. So there's the debate between Shulchan Aruch and Ramah whether you can take payment for it. Shulchan Aruch seems to say, okay, the Ramah says you can't. And then we stop and call you and feel misapar Yisrael, you can get a haircut. Again, it's purely because that's probably because of Kavod Shabbos. The Mishnah Brura says, misapar Yisrael, hayna filu imasapar, no taschar. But tam denir la kol she'ose mistakper litzorech Shabbos v'lchein shari. So it seems that to get a haircut, if you're a barber, you could definitely give a haircut to someone because that's clear to everyone that's for Shabbos. But if you do another malacha, for someone for Shabbos, it's not recognizable to all that's for Shabbos. That might be more problematic. Says, if you fix someone else's garment, it's not clear that that's for Shabbos. Okay, so therefore he says, so you have to Friday afternoon. I don't know if this could be allowed. You know. No non-Jews allowed on Friday afternoon. I don't know how that would work out. Okay, there might be legal issues. But the point being is what he's saying is that that you can do things, you can do malachos that are for Kavod Shabbos, for the Tzorech Shabbos. You can get paid for it if, according to the Ramah, if it's clear that if it's for Shabbos needs. The Mishnah Brura in source 58, and then we'll do 58, 59, and then we'll try to do practical examples. In 58, Mishnah Brura says, Osa malacha, you can do malacha, upragmatia shari, commerce is permitted. So apparently, he says that you can do business. You can open a store. And why is that? So probably, I guess if you have a store, then probably what are you doing? You're probably selling stuff that's for Shabbos. So gourmet glot can be open until right before Shabbos. That's even if you have stuff that's not necessarily before Shabbos. However, the Pnini Halacha says, that's Rav Melamed, right? He's a rabbi, a prominent posek in Eretz Yisrael. He writes in Source 59, Pnini Halacha. He writes, U'mischa l'das harvei poskim eirun bichlal isra b'lachaza. He says that, according to many authorities, commerce not included in this prohibition. U'mutel limkor b'chadus b'lachaz shol, so you can sell. You can open your stores and sell at these hours. Aval b'chol ofed, borrow sheish discourse acharus l'pagos chatzis shol if they think it's a Shabbos, ki lehaspik lishrachis l'shlavis l'kvetz a Shabbos. So, but you would have to close, let's say, half an hour before Shabbos so people can get ready for Shabbos. So the question, of course, is that, what do we do nowadays? Nowadays... some people come home right before Shabbos. So first of all, I want to point out the Mishnah Berurah points out that if you're a poor person, you can actually take a salary, and basically the rules of Erev Shabbos after Mincha are similar to Chol Hamoed. So whatever you're allowed to do on Chol Hamoed, you can do on Erev Shabbos. And so the leniency that people have to go to work on Chol Hamoed is not really our topic, but the leniency people have Chol Hamoed is that, and again, it says Eina Ro'a Siman Bracha. Is it Usher? It seems that if you would get fired basically from your job by leaving early, so it's one of the leniencies on Chol Hamoed is what's called Dover HaAved. Let's say you can buy something, on Chol Hamoed, and after Chol Hamoed it's going to be twice the price. So that's called a Dover HaAved. There'd be a financial loss for you not to engage to buy something or to engage in this business. Or to gate, whatever the case is, to buy this I apologize. Let's say for example, if you don't deal with a client in Chol Hamoed, and you tell them to wait till after Yom Tov, so then you might lose the client completely. You lose a lot of money after Yom Tov. So then that's called Dover HaAved. That would result in a major financial loss, and you'd be allowed to deal with the client in Chol Hamoed. So similarly, if your boss tells you that you can, you got to work until, like, they understand Shabbos. They'll let you out an hour and a half before Shabbos, but they don't, you tell them about Mincha Gedola, Mincha Ketana, they look at you like it's a little crazy. So, and you won't be able to get a job. So that's probably the leniency potentially for Chol Hamoed. There's a Shaila. If you have vacation days, do you have to take them a Chol Hamoed? So that's a topic, that's a Shaila. That would be the leniency for people to if your boss would allow you to basically on Friday to leave by, let's say, Mincha Ketana, 2.5 hours before sunset, you probably should. It's probably appropriate to do that, but it's not always feasible depending on the line of work that you're in. I just want to point out that so basically there's another. So basically that's the leniency would be really, 2.5 hours there's another leniency as well, which I'll just tell to you. It's a little complicated. Not that complicated, but the question is, when does the day begin, the day end? According to the Mishnah Berurah, according to one opinion, the day ends at nightfall. So, and the day begins at daybreak. So you might actually have more time. So in other words, it's 2.5 hours before nightfall, which might be an hour and a quarter before sunset. So you might have a light. Now there's a question when the day ends. But ideally, in an ideal world, the day begins at 6, ends at 6. You should try 2.5 hours before Shabbos not to engage in, you know, fixed balacha. But again, if you're stuck, if you're working at a job that you can't get off, then there's room to, there's ground to be lenient. Okay. Let's just try to see, finish. We have a little more about traveling on Erev Shabbos. Okay, well, maybe we'll go to 9:20 if it's okay. In Maseches Sukkah, Daf Mem Daled Amud Beis says, Amar Evo Mishum Rabbi Elazar Bar Tzadok, Ayah Halich Ad Barvei Shabbos Yosef Megimel Parsos. So it says that you cannot walk on Shabbos even more than a distance of on Erev Shabbos more than 3 parsos. So we have to say what is that? So what's the 3 parsos is about 12 kilometers, which is what? How many miles is that? 8 miles. 12 kilometers is about 8 miles.
7.5. That's what it says in the footnote, anyway.
Okay, 7 miles, 7.5 miles. Okay, so it's about 7.5 miles. Okay, so you can't walk 7.5 miles on Erev Shabbos. So why can't you walk 7.5 miles on Erev Shabbos? Shulchan Aruch says in Source 61, "Ain ochim b'Erev Shabbos yosef megillah parsos." So you can't walk on Erev Shabbos more than get this 7.5 miles. Kadesh yagila base of yom gadol v'yuchal lahachin tzarchi sud l'Shabbos. Bein cholech lebeis acherim, bein cholech lebeiso. Why? So, because you want to make sure you have enough time to get to your house or your friend's house, so you can prepare your meal. Vim shalach lo diem. So, what does it mean? You can't travel more than 7.5 miles. Like, I don't know. Sometimes we travel more than 7.5 miles in Erev Shabbos. So he says, v'im. So, what's our leniency? Vim shalach lo diem shu holech sham l'Shabbos mutilech kamar prosos b'chol gavda. If you travel to Jersey, you're traveling more than 7.5 miles. What's our leniency to be allowed to travel to Jersey? Because, what's the concern? The concern is that you're just going to show up and then you're going to start preparing Shabbos meals. Okay? I guess in the old days they would do that. They would just show up somewhere to their relatives' house. Oh, come stay. And then they would start preparing the Shabbos meal. No, we don't do that nowadays. We let people know that we're coming for Shabbos. So that's why it's not really a concern. The Shmir Shabbos Chachos says in Source 62, "Ein holchim b'Erev Shabbos v'Erev Yom Tov mitzchilas haboker yosef mishalos parsos." We don't travel to Erev Shabbos, Erev Yom Tov from the beginning of the morning more than 3 parsos. The Hainu Zman Halicha Ad Shlish Hayom, which is the equivalent to the time to walk for a third of the day. V'yesh Omrim Shehu Adin Basher L'Nesiyah Bimchonit Achar Zman Hazeh Shel Shlish Hayom. Some say also that when you travel in a car, you shouldn't travel more than a third of a day. Why? V'hu K'dei She'Gil L'Mchos Chavtzo Bar Yom Gadol. So now he wants to say maybe what we're saying here is not 7.5 miles, because that's 7.5 miles if you're walking. So that's a third of the day. So what that means is that however long it takes you to drive, however long you can drive in a whole day, you can only drive one third of the day. So you have enough time to get where you're going and then still prepare for Shabbos. So that, because it's only true what when he doesn't let people know and they don't know that he's coming. But if he tells people to know that he's coming, you can even go longer. And also he says if people make a lot of food and then for Shabbos, apparently Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach, Rav Neuwirth, who wrote the Sefer, his rabbi was Shlomo Zalman Orbach, he said that, you know, nowadays many people, Baruch Hashem, they prepare for Shabbos, they prepare for twice as many people that actually eat their Shabbos meal. That's why we have the halachic term called leftovers, right? Because people make a lot more than is usually eaten on Shabbos, and the people have a minhag to be surprised while their food's not eaten, even though they make twice as much food as the people who can eat. Speaking from someone who does not prepare food, so I don't really have a say in this. But bottom line is that what he's saying is that since people, like, they are preparing usually a lot of food, we don't have to be worried about this halacha. That being said, the Mishnah Berurah says, Uvaharbe achronim ra'isi, and with many achronim I saw shekasu that they wrote. Shtebi kol makom nevles tzarchli zar lachatchila shel yelech o yisad sabuk le'erv. You shouldn't travel close to evening. Mipnei shekama pomim nichsholim al yedei zeh b'om nechil shabbos. If you leave too late, it's going to result in chil shabbos. V'gam kama pomim yera de lo yigil malon leveso mibod yom. Ad shechashich hamamash. You don't get to your hotel until it's dark. V'kama chil shabbos yesh b'otzav achnos. If you see a mitchum shabbos, shuyas b'emto. There's going to be chil shabbos. And that's why he says, V'lachain kol zeh yosim ha'odim alech lelibo v'yimar lishpoz afil b'kfar. Don't say, oh, I have enough time, You should, you know, stop early. The Orech HaShulchan says, also stresses this also. He makes a point. He says, You should plan to get to where you're going while it's still daytime, like we have a lot of time. So it won't lead to Chilo Shabbos. Certainly when you're traveling on the path of the iron, meaning the train. She should calculate the time well. You need to make sure that when you're going off the train, you're going to be traveling by wagon to get where you're going. Right? If you realize the train's going to come in close to sunset, you should get off at the earlier stop. I guess those days, they were just stopping somewhere. They're traveling a lot. Come Shabbos, they're stopping in one place. So don't, you want to get as far as you can go. Don't go to the last stop before sunset. Go to the stop before, because there's also, you got to hire a wagon to where you're going. Valpi rova sata mekachim erev Shabbos. Satan is looming on erev Shabbos. It tells you, you have enough time. L'chein yira lizar ma'od bazeh u'schara kafu min ha'shamayim. You should be very careful, and your will be double from the heaven. V'yami makdishe Shabbos kodesh u'mechalel shchas v'shalom. Apparently, it was a problem, not just nowadays, where people get stuck on the road. In the 19th century also, they got stuck. They thought they had enough time, and they would get stuck. And in Source 65, he writes, Shmir Shabbos says, Mikomakom chayvarim l'tachnin siyoso itev, v'lo kachas b'cheshbo d'efshavu shal takolo bilti tzifuya b'derech. When you're traveling, you should consider that, you know what? There might be a traffic jam on the George Washington Bridge. Okay? K'dei lovo l'makom shviyosu b'od mo'i v'lech tzitz atzma l'safi chilo Shabbos. So you won't result in chilo Shabbos. Bottom line is, of course, when it comes to the traveling, the real halacha of traveling that's found in the Gemara is not applicable nowadays, because basically people know that we are coming. Nevertheless, obviously they say something that's common sense, that we should make sure to leave extra time in case, you know, there are traffic jams. Okay, I will leave you homework you should read the Machshava section. We're not going to do the Machshava section of Erev Shabbos. Next session, we will begin the Halachos of Hadlakos Neros, God willing, next time. So I'm not going to read the Machshava section, but it's good stuff. But you should read it, you know, Sources 67. And you can also read, there's a summary of the Halachos on 1661. It's a good, 1665. It's a good Chazara from all that we learned. And there's also even another article on page 6669, it can put together everything that we learned before next Shabbos, for next session. I'm wishing everyone a wonderful week.